If you remember the book that inspired this scene, you might have high levels of empathy. Take a listen.
The defendant is not guilty. But somebody in this courtroom is. Now, gentlemen, in this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal.
That was from the movie adaptation of the Harper Lee classic, To Kill a Mockingbird. According to a new study, people who read certain types of literary fiction, books by people like Harper Lee, Salman Rushdie, or Toni Morrison, are more likely to understand other people's feelings. In other words, they might demonstrate more empathy.
But not all fiction is the same. The study also says that genre writing from authors like Danielle Steele and Clive Cussler doesn't seem to have the same empathy effect on its readers.
Our next guest is one of the authors of the study. David Kidd is a Whiting Foundation postdoctoral fellow at the New School for Social Research's Psychology Department. David, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also joining us to tell us more about literary fiction as a genre is Mark Rotella. He's a senior editor at Publishers Weekly and co-host of the weekly radio show PW Radio. Mark, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And David, I'm going to start with you. What did you set out to measure with your new study?
Great question. What we tried to do in this study was to get a sense of people's reading habits. So we did not conduct an experiment in which we randomly assigned people to read different types of fiction. Instead, we just asked them to complete a measure that gave us a sense of what type of fiction do they read. And we also had them complete a test of social perception, in which they're asked to identify the complex emotional states of other people. And what we wanted to know was whether or not different types of reading habits differently predicted performance on this social perception test. And what we found was that the more authors that we categorized as more literary, a person recognized, the better they performed on this test. And as you just said, we did not find the same thing for the more popular genre fiction writers, so the more formulaic works.
What makes you decide that those two things are related, the literary work that someone reads and their degree of empathy? Couldn't be another quality that's coming into play?
Certainly. And, you know, I should just say that any study like this is going to not be able to capture everything. So, you know, all of our interpretations are a bit tentative. But we still think they're meaningful. But the reason that we were really interested in this distinction between more literary fiction and more formulaic genre fiction was that from a psychological perspective, we know that when we perceive other people, we tend to do so in a very efficient, quick manner that relies a lot on just knowledge of how the social world works. So knowledge of how people are expected to behave in certain situations. And we also use stereotypes. And not all of the time are these stereotypes the sort of prejudiced stereotypes we associate with really negative impacts on people. But it's a stereotype to think that, for example, a social psychologist might know more about social psychology than, say, a biologist. Right, that's a stereotype. One hopes it's true, but you're making your judgment on the basis of information you already have or you already think you have about the other person, rather than engaging in what psychologists call individuation, in which you build up a perception of the person really from the ground up. And we think that literary fiction, because it's often more focused on character development, it has fewer stock characters in general, we think that reading literary fiction is more likely to train this sort of bottom-up perception of other people that really focuses on that person's unique mental states at the moment rather than a general impression about a category of people.
And Mark, I want to bring you in on this. Does this surprise you that the reading of literary fiction, which maybe could be described in this case as character-based, might produce someone who's more empathic?
You know, it's funny, when I first read the piece, that came out, The Guardian, about this, I talked to a few colleagues and a few friends, and they're like, yeah, of course that makes sense. And it is kind of interesting, exactly what you know, David is saying. You know, with so much of literary fiction, it focuses on the human condition rather than, say, in most or much of genre fiction, I don't want to say all of it, where the focus is on moving the plot forward, where the character is the conflict arises in plot changes for the character, and the character reacts to that, rather than oftentimes in literary fiction, internal conflict and what happens there. So you do have, I think David mentioned something about the subtlety in perception on the part of the reader as to what is going on with any character, where it might be more obvious what is driving a character in genre fiction, maybe a thriller or a romance, rather than in literary fiction.
I mean, do you think it might also be true that the stories in literary fiction, if I think about some of the great novels in the last year, a lot of them have terribly sad or tragic plot points. Do you think that's part of it, too?
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of the, at least the ones, if we're referring to the same ones, a lot of them have focus on family, or at least the last few years, a lot of, you know, a lot of what we call literary fiction focuses on family. So perhaps that there is some sort of darkness or a depressive matter, that could be it. I mean, it could be that it's really kind of putting a lens on stuff that happens that we often don't like to talk about or admit to talking about.
We're talking right now with David Kidd and Mark Rotella, and David did a study looking at the effect maybe that reading literary fiction can have on people's empathy. They seem to be more empathic if they're readers of literary fiction. Mark Rotella with us now, and he's with Publishers Weekly, looking at what it is about literature that could be responsible for this. And David, I mean, I'm sure people have asked you this question already, but is this possibly prescriptive? If you have a person that would like to develop greater empathy, could they just, pick up some Dostoevsky or some Toni Morrison?
I would, as a reader, I would love to be able to say yes, absolutely. I don't think that, this line of research really is still in its infancy. And I think that we still need to gather more evidence. But I think also that when it comes to deciding whether or not we should encourage people to read and to read fiction that will challenge their thinking or maybe draw them into these sometimes darker places, as Mark was mentioning, where we really reflect on other people and perhaps ourselves, I think we don't have to just look to psychological studies. I mean, teachers, ordinary readers, have long been saying that fiction matters a lot to them and that they feel that it makes them more attuned to themselves and others. And really that was a large basis for this work, was trying to, approach this sort of anecdotal, so it's a lot of anecdotes, this anecdotal evidence from a more systematic scientific perspective. But again, this scientific approach is new, and I don't think that the value of literature should hinge on a few studies at this point, certainly. And I also want to emphasize that myself and my colleague, Emanuele Castano, who's my co-author, neither of us believe that the results that we've found suggest that, first of all, that increasing interpersonal understanding is the most important thing about reading fiction. nor do we think that genre fiction cannot also have benefits to people.
And Mark, I want to see what you think, coming at this not as a scientist, but as a guy who loves books and talks about books and writes about books. What do you think it is about literature that makes people feel maybe more deeply for other people? What qualities are there? If you can point to a specific book, maybe.
You know, I'm trying to think. I've read of the ones that I've read recently. I'm nearly finished with Colson Whitehead's The Underground Railroad, and here you have conflict, main characters making decisions that we could see ourselves making, perhaps, were we in the same situation or not. And that's the other thing, is we couldn't even imagine being in that situation. But that's one place there where you're following the main character woman, Cora, throughout the novel to see what decisions she makes. Both, you know, both promoted by the plot, but also for herself. I mean, there's some really dark stuff going on, and that's one right there. I just finished reading Delia Ephron's Syracusa, which is another thing: two couples on vacation in Syracuse, Syracuse, Sicily, and what happens when these four people, one with a child, or five people, get together, and the conflicts that arise. I mean, it's told from several different points of view, and just seeing what happens when you put these people together, and how what decisions you make can change the course of events.
We're talking with David Kidd of the New School for Social Research's Psychology Department about a study he co-authored about how reading literary fiction seems to help us understand other people's emotions. And Mark Rotella is with us, too. He's senior editor of Publishers Weekly and co-host of the weekly radio show PW Radio.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a reader of what you consider literary fiction? And do you think books by people like Harper Lee, Salman Rushdie, Toni Morrison, and others have helped you understand other people's emotions, understand other people, period? Do you read more genre fiction? What do you get out of that? In general, has reading made you a better person? And if you want a prescription for a book, you won't get that. But if you want a suggestion for some literary fiction, we could probably help you out. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing the conversation about how a new study shows that literary fiction may be able to help you understand other people's emotions. Talking now with David Kidd from New School and Mark Rotella from Publishers Weekly.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us if you think reading certain types of books helps create this sense of empathy, of understanding of others, non-fictional people in your life. Call in at 800-642-1234. And if you're looking for a book suggestion, Mark might be able to help you out. Again, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take our first caller now. We've got Mary with us in Appleton. Mary, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
Well, I just find that reading fiction helps me identify my own feelings and my own personal awareness, which I think helps me with other people because I can maybe articulate a little bit better. I'm maybe not quite so self-aware as other people, so those descriptions and word pictures and ideas help me put myself into thought so I can contribute more to relationships and conversations.
That's a great point, Mary. And Mark, she's getting at their fiction as a tool for self-understanding, not even understanding other people, but maybe yourself first. Do you think that's something that happens a lot when we read literature?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's been throughout history, some of the greatest literature. And by literary, I don't necessarily mean, not popular fiction. I mean, we've had great popular fiction like Dickens, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, much of which was serialized and read by the masses. But they, too, just kind of dealt with the human condition. I mean, there's I should ask the caller what kinds of books has she read?
Well, I guess I'm probably more of a fantasy science fiction. I have been working my way through a lot of the classics, and I can't say always the entire book helps me understand myself, but there's just going to be a snippet or a character identification or description that gives me a light bulb moment that go, oh, that's me.
Right. Thank you so much, Mary. So Mary's saying she has these moments of self-identification. Sometimes hearing someone else describe it helps us see it in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, thank you for the call. And we're going to go next to Judy in Milwaukee. Judy, hi.
Hello. I was influenced by what books I was assigned to read in grade school, like Red Badge of Courage and To Kill a Mockingbird. And I was also influenced by the people in my family unit. I had two sisters with special needs and also some other relatives with special needs. And that drew me to the medical field. And I still prefer that type of genre today where I can learn and be empathetic. And that's what I have to say.
Judy, thank you so much for calling. And David, I want to ask you about some of the books we read when we're young. Do you think there's any evidence out there, you know, if you could extrapolate that there might be something formative about reading and reading in particular veins when we're young?
Yeah, there. I haven't done any of that research myself, but that's because other people got to it first. And there was a really interesting study done by a team, Peskin and Astington, and they specifically looked at very young children, so storybooks, so even earlier than, Red Badge of Courage or To Kill a Mockingbird. And what they found was that when parents read storybooks to their children, those children ended up performing better on sort of more child-appropriate tests of empathic accuracy or theory of mind. And what was really interesting about their finding was that it was actually the books that had fewer emotion terms in them that seemed to have the biggest effect. And the reason for that, the psychologists posited, was that whenever the emotions were not explicitly stated for the child had to figure it out. And they often did so with the help of the person reading the book with them. So there would be a discussion of, well, why does this character feel this way? And that is what's thought to really help, especially in kids, develop this capacity to represent other people's emotions and thoughts.
That's interesting, Mark, because isn't that one of the hallmarks of good writing is showing, not telling, and then having a discussion? You know, you're not saying Joey was sad. You're showing that he's sad.
You know, I was just going to say that I also teach creative writing, and you know, the whole idea of showing, not telling, where, you know, we don't say so-and-so said coldly. It's communicated in the words, and it's kind of, and again, talking about subtle references, and you perceive it somewhat differently, and I imagine this is what David's talking about, rather than she turned boldly and said something, you know, and said, step out of my way. Rather, she turned, step out of my way, and letting the dialogue speak for itself, but also having nuances there that you're over time you start picking up on, in the subtlety of the writing and of people's, you know, in the subtlety of people in general, and their own decisions and their own reactions to things.
And Mark, while we've got you on the line, I want to ask you, you know, David has told us this isn't a prescription that you can take, read a book and you'll be more empathic, but if it were, what would you recommend that we read if we really want to dive and walk in someone else's shoes and feel what they're feeling and maybe learn about ourselves? What do you recommend that's out there right now?
Well, I'd mentioned the Colson Whitehead's book, which is just a fantastic book. Swing Time by Zadie Smith is another one about the, you know, two girls who dream of being dancers. Louisa Ermolino, who's our senior, who's our reviews director, has a book called Malafemina, and she talks about this collection of short stories mostly on strong-willed women. And then we've got Richard Russo, who just came out with a book called Everybody's Fool. And I'm just looking down the list of a couple of things that I had wanted to mention. Ann Patchett, Commonwealth. Ann Patchett's another one this is a collage of parents, children, and stepchildren. Again, another family narrative. So those are a couple that have been kind of popping up in my mind, including The Knicks by Nathan Hill, is a novelist who's just been getting a lot of attention. And this is about a son and a mother who left him as a child, and the son's search for meaning and the void that she left. I mean, there's just been a lot of really good stuff coming out. I hope I'm not talking too fast. I hope that anyone out there might be able to write pretty quickly.
Right. A lot of good suggestions, though, that Ann Patchett one just landed on my desk this week, and I love her writing. But thank you for giving us some suggestions. And David and Mark, thank you both for joining us today.
It was great to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was David Kidd, researcher and PhD candidate in the psychology department at the New School for Social Research. And Mark Rotella joined us. He's the senior editor at Publishers Weekly and co-host of the weekly radio show PW Radio.